All right, good morning. Am I on? So I'm going to talk today about loving yourself. And let me see if I'm operating this thing okay. Wait. All right, so I'm going to talk about loving yourself, and I just want to share a minute how I got here. Why I was thinking about this, and the last chapel series we did was really impactful to me, and I thought a lot about, you know, the way we look at others, the way we caricaturize others and ourselves, and judging others, and the importance of forgiveness, and all these things. And then last week, Mr. Hansen talked a little bit about the three parts of morality, and it reminded me of what C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity, which is that the three parts of morality are like a fleet of ships, and so you have three things. So, like, that's the United States. That's Annapolis. Here's a fleet of ships. I am a talented artist, by the way. Thank you. So, of course, that's the United Kingdom. So, he says that the three parts of morality are like a fleet of ships. And there's three things. One, the individual ships have to be in order. The guts of the ship have to be working, the engine, the steering. And then two, the ships have to be in right relationship with each other. They can't be banging into each other. And three, they have to know where they're going. So you can have ships that are in fine working order. They maintain proper relationship to one another. But if the destination is London and they end up in Johannesburg, that would not be a successful journey. And so I think we talk a lot about where we're heading and living for God. And we talk a lot about our relationship to one another. But what I started thinking about is the guts of the ship, the engine, the steering. And it doesn't matter if I want to be in right relationship with others or if I want to go somewhere, if I've got an old tub that doesn't work, I'm going to bang into other people, and I'm not going to reach my destination. And so we talk about loving others, but I think first we have to learn how to love ourselves. And so I was thinking about a couple things. Of course, we're called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and I think sometimes, unfortunately, we do that because we don't love ourselves well, and we don't love others well. God calls us to love one another, and that includes ourselves. So I started thinking about two things. I didn't want that all to pop up at once, but that's okay. One is I thought about ways that we talk about loving others that maybe we don't do so well with ourselves. And the first one I thought about is holding others accountable. And last year in football, this was kind of a theme of some of our devotions. Do you remember that? Anyone? Any football players? Yes, Brett, thank you. Is that iron sharpens iron. And we talked about it like in sports, how when you go up against somebody in a drill, you don't take it easy on them. That's not how you get better. But the same thing is true in our lives, that that we love each other by speaking the truth in love, by calling things out to the people that we love and letting them know, hey, you know, this isn't healthy or whatever. But do we do this to ourselves? And I don't think we do. So I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to talk about forgiveness. And we talk so much about forgiving others, but do we forgive ourselves? So those are the two things I want to talk about. I'm going to start with holding ourselves accountable. And I'm thinking about it like, what do we take a stand for? And so for those of you that have had me in class, it won't surprise you that I'm going to tell a story, and it won't surprise you that it's about myself, and it won't surprise you that it'll seem like it's totally random and doesn't apply to what we're talking about. But unlike in class, this story actually has a point. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my life. When I graduated college, I moved down to Ocean City, Maryland for the summer, and this is the Carousel Hotel from the beach side. Over here is like a Food Line and stuff, and we lived like right here. You can't quite see it, and I'll show you some of the guys. So that's me in like 1995. Those are some of my boys. That's Jay Sheeran. We called him BL for bad luck. And the guy with the backwards hat is McCoy. That's John Roselli. And the guy on the couch over there, that's Mark Bender. He was the guy that I lived with down in Ocean City. And there were a bunch of us that went down for the summer. But at the end of the summer, everybody went back to school except me and Bender. We had graduated. So we stayed in Ocean City. Well, I worked at the Carousel. And this picture here is actually from our street. The hotel looks different now. But I worked there, and in the off-season, there's not a whole lot to do. You really don't do anything during the week. You don't work. On the weekends, you have conventions, so you do some stuff for people that are coming and staying at the hotel. But on Friday nights, we used to do something for the locals. And there was an ice rink in the Carousel. Has anyone ever been there? Carousel Hotel in Ocean City. Anyway, there's an ice rink, and there was a little deli over here. I used to run that deli, and we used to do a special. And that special, it was like a family deal. You got like three pairs of rental skates and a pizza and a bucket of fries, right? So one night... So this is a good job for me, by the way. I work like 3 days a week, but they gave me benefits, so I have health insurance and all that kind of stuff. Cost of living is nothing down there in the off season, so it was a good gig. So one night, we're offering this family special, and I'm there in the deli, and I was by myself because we weren't too busy. And this guy comes up, and, you know, he orders the family special. He's got a couple kids, whatever. So I'm like, all right. So I make him the pizza, and I make him the fries, and I bring it out, and I ask him, I say, do you want vinegar on your fries? And he says, yeah. And I said, okay, well, I don't put vinegar on my fries, so I didn't really know how much. I just put some on there. So about 5 minutes later, this guy comes back, and he's got the bucket of fries, and he says, man, these fries were awful. He said, you put too much vinegar on them. And I said, all right, sorry, man. I'll make you another batch of fries, and I took the tub from him, and I looked in it, and there's like three fries left. And I'm like, yo, my man, you ate all the fries. And he said, yeah, but they were awful. I want you to make me another batch. And I said, well, I'll make you another batch, but you're going to pay for it. And he says, no, I'm not. They were terrible. I'm the customer. Customer's always right, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, man, I'm not making you the fries. And he says, I'd like to talk to your manager. So I call my manager, his name was Steve, and Steve comes out, and, you know, we tell him the whole situation, and Steve looks at me and he says, Chris, he says, customer's always right, make him the fries. I said, Steve, I said, look around at the employees you got. Like, half of them show up 2 hours late, if at all. I'm a college-educated man. I run this place. I'm a good employee, and I'm going to tell you something. If you tell me I got to make these fries, I'm walking out this door right now, and you can make the fries. And Steve stands there. He looks at me. He looks at the guy. And he looks at me. He looks at the guy. And he says, I'm sorry, sir. You'll have to pay for the fries. And I'm like, yes! Yeah, you will. Well, I thought about that story, and I started to feel a sense of humiliation about it, and here's why. I took a stand over a $3 bucket of fries that could have cost me dearly. I could have lost my job. I probably would have had to move back home. And I took a stand over that. I put my job on the line over that. It wasn't even my fries. But at that period of my life, in my personal life, I stood for nothing. I never took a stand. I knew I was living in a way in open rebellion against God, and I just didn't care. So I wonder what we're willing to take a stand for. And I think it's really important that we pause and we look in the mirror and we're honest with ourselves and we take account of our lives. I was able to distract myself and deceive myself and lie to myself. And I think it's really easy to lie to yourself because you want to believe it. And I think one way to love yourself is to hold yourself accountable. And the way you do that is to have an honest conversation with yourself, to look in the mirror, like literally look in the mirror and take stock of your life. And you know that there are things that you are doing. None of us are perfect. There's things that you are doing that you know are destructive, that you know are hurtful to other people, whatever they might be. And I would just encourage you, even right now, to just think about it in your head. What are the things that I'm doing that if I saw somebody else doing, if I knew somebody else was doing, if it was somebody I loved, that I would confront them? And I would just encourage you to do that and name it and say it out loud. And then what are you going to do about it? And I would just encourage you to share it. To think, who can I talk to about this? And, you know, last week when Michael spoke, and what a courageous thing to do. And one of the things that he said that really struck a chord with me was just how good it felt to tell somebody what he was struggling with. And I think so often the evil one wants us to feel like we're alone, like we're the only one struggling with something, like there's something specially wrong with us, that we're beyond hope. And I think if we just acknowledge what our struggles are, if we name them and we start talking about it, it is such a burden off of our shoulders, and we'll find that we're not alone, that there's other people that have gone through this, that there's people that love you, that want to help you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is my favorite verse. And it says this. It tells us, first of all, whatever it is we're facing, it's common to man. That means you're not the only one who has gone through this. And then it tells us that God is faithful, and he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. He will give us a way to endure it. And sometimes that way is the people that he's put into our lives. So again, I would just encourage you to pause, to take a look in the mirror, to think about what are the things that I struggle with? What are the things that if I knew my brother or sister was doing, that I would confront them or I'd want to confront them? What are those things? Name those things and then think about where can I go for help? Maybe it's just somebody holding you accountable. Maybe it's an adult that you can just talk to about it. And it is such a freeing thing. So I think that's one way that you can love yourself. And if you love yourself in that way, you'll find it easier to love others in that way. And it is loving others that way, to speak the truth, even when it hurts. The second thing I want to talk about is forgiveness. So I have this set up where things are like, I'm not sure how this is going to come up. All right, well, I'm going to tell you a story about my mommy, about my mom, Winnie. And I shared this in mentor group after Mr. Palumbo spoke about forgiveness. That's a picture of me and my mom when I was probably 16. I don't know. I found it back home. It's a great 80s picture. You can't see it real well, but it's a pretty sweet mullet. And, like, there's the hair come out in the back. You can't really see. But that station wagon right there, it's got, like, the wood paneling. It's like the classic 80s vacation station wagon. It was great. And that's a picture of my mom and dad now. This was at their 50th wedding anniversary, and we put a book together for them and kind of read our reflections on them. But I wanna tell you what my mom taught me about forgiveness. So I'm just gonna share maybe a minute about my testimony, and many of you know that I'm an alcohol and drug addict in recovery, and I've been clean and sober since September 12th, 1997, and being an addict, living as an addict, of course, is a very selfish thing to do, but getting clean is a very selfish thing to do. You have to be selfish, because it takes so much energy. It's so exhausting every day, and you just really focus on yourself, and it's really hard. So when I got clean, that was my focus on myself, and it was really probably about 6 months in that I started thinking about how I've hurt other people, and the list of people that I hurt was way too long. But the people that I hurt the most were my mom and my dad, and I think especially my mom. And I hurt my mom in a lot of ways. One was obviously that she was worried about me, and I was living from the time I was 17 until I was 26. I was going through this struggle, and about 5 years of it was really touch and go when I think back of it. And I really made my parents' life a living hell. And I know my mom went to bed every night just worrying about getting a phone call. And my dad was a little bit better about, like, knowing when to confront and when to back off. And my mom just, like, couldn't help herself. She just loved me so much and couldn't take me doing what I was doing and would constantly nag me, I would say. And I said so many things that were so hurtful to her that I can't even repeat. So many awful things. And anyway, I started thinking about this, and I said to myself, I got to call my mom. And my mom, we weren't estranged or anything. She knew what was going on, but I had never apologized to her. And I said, I got to call my mom, and I just got to tell her I'm sorry. And so I called her, and I said, Mom, I said, I got to tell you something. And she's like, what? And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I can't even begin to list the things that I'm sorry about. I'm just so sorry. And there was a long pause, and my mom says, oh, Chris, she says, you have nothing to apologize for. You are a son, and we love you. And all of that is forgotten. And at first, that made me feel even more guilty. Like, I kind of wanted her to be mad at me. And I knew she was going to forgive me. I knew that. But I guess I expected her to talk to me about how, it's going to take some time to reestablish trust. And, do you understand what you put us through? But none of that. And when Mr. Palumbo said how God actively says that I will remember your sins no more. And it just made me think of that. And I think when she paused, it was just because she was so taken back that I would even think I had to apologize. And that really had a deep impact on me because it made me be able to, I'll say forgive myself, but what I really mean is accepting forgiveness. Because my mom is a fallen person. She can't forgive perfectly. But in that little window, through her, I saw the love of Christ. I saw the forgiveness that God offers us. And I just think that when we say we can't forgive ourselves and we carry this guilt around, what we're really saying is we don't trust God. We don't believe what God is telling us about forgiveness. God says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, but we doubt that. And when we feel guilt over things that we've confessed, we're really doubting God. It's really a faith issue. So, how can you forgive yourself if you're struggling with guilt? And this is something that I've struggled with even 20 years later. I go through periods where I'm overwhelmed with guilt. And I think it's important when we feel that way to go back to the mirror. I want you to look in the mirror twice tonight and just try to see yourself. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Like, when I look in the mirror, I'll see, like, oh, I have a pimple or my hair's messed up, right? Like, we tend to see our flaws, right? We do that much more often than we look in the mirror and say, hey, I look good, right? But I think if we can look in the mirror and see ourselves as God sees us, made in his image, redeemed, that whatever we've done, although our sins are red as scarlet, we are white as snow. That's how he sees us, radiant. And I think it's important to remember when you're struggling with this guilt that it's not about you. You don't have to forgive yourself. It's about accepting the forgiveness that God offers. And then lastly, I think it's important to remember the times that God has been faithful in your life, and to say those things, to name those things. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to call on God when we're going through a difficult time and then just kind of forget how he sees us through it. Remind ourselves of that, that God is faithful. There's so many verses about forgiveness, and I just love this one in Psalms where he says that as far as the east is from the west, our transgressions have been removed from us. He chooses to remember them no more. And if the God of the universe can forgive us that deeply, why are we carrying around this guilt? So, to summarize, how do we love ourselves well? Well, why it's important that we love ourselves well, because if we don't, we're not going to love others. We can try, but we can't if we don't love ourselves well. So the two things that I wanted to highlight today is, one, taking a stand in your own life, acknowledging your weaknesses, your pitfalls, naming them, seeking help, knowing that you're not alone, and then two, accepting the forgiveness that God offers, not carrying the guilt with you. And I think we do this, again, by looking in the mirror and knowing who we are and whose we are. And where do we find our identity? And if we find it in Christ, we know that we're called to obey, but yet we have abundant grace available to us. And I think it's so important to name the things, to say them out loud, to call out the things in our lives, to acknowledge the things in our lives, both that we struggle with, but also the many, many blessings that we have, the many times that God has been faithful to us. And finally, if nothing else, I would just encourage you to reach out to someone today. whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is you're fighting, to know that you're not fighting it alone, that there's others that have gone through it, that there's so many people around you that are there to help you, that want to help you. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming, but if you just take the first step of saying it, of telling somebody, I think that is opens up the door to healing. So I just want you to know that you are loved. You are loved by our Lord. You are loved by all of us more than you know. Bow with me, please. Father God, we just thank you that you love us so much, that you gave your Son for our sins. And Father, I just pray that we would see ourselves properly, that we would see ourselves as made in your image, as we would see ourselves as redeemed through the blood of Christ, God. And let us live as people redeemed. Let us love one another. Let us love ourselves, God. We give this day to you. In Jesus' name, amen.